When Janet Rolls pulled over to witness a black man being confronted by the police in Edina, she was not aware that she would throw a spotlight on policing in the Minneapolis suburb. The incident began with 34-year-old Larney Thomas walking around construction, which put him into the southbound lane of traffic on Xerxes Avenue. According to the police report, Edina Police Officer Lieutenant Tim Olson first tapped his siren and flashed his lights at Thomas, then pulled over. A video recorded by Rolls shows the officer confronting Thomas verbally, eventually grabbing him by his shirt and jacket. Here's some of what Janet Rolls filmed. I'm sorry, we don't have that excerpt ready at the moment, so we're going to continue on. But just so you know, it to characterize it, it does have a situation where you were talking to the police officer mm-hmm. while the officer was also talking to the to Larney Thomas. And how would you characterize that conversation, Janet Rolls?
The conversation I had or the one they were having? Sorry.
Well, sort of the interaction you had.
It had escalated to the point where Larney was visibly upset. I don't know him.
And now, actually, we have the cut, so let's go ahead and play it so people can get a better understanding.
You got your hand on me, folks! Get the fuck on the damn sidewalk! Come back for what? I remain silent! Get your hand off me!
He's scared, sir.
Like I'm doing something to you! You got your hand on me!
It's scary!
Settle down.
Come hand off me, damn! I already get to my f***ing f***ing and I ain't got no money to pay
for it! Because he's black.
Settle down.
Yeah,
that language you can't use in this neighborhood, okay?
Okay, well, can I keep walking in the neighborhood? Why not?
Because we're going to have a discussion about a whole bunch of stuff that's going on right now.
What's going on?
Why don't you just help him?
That's how it started.
I watched the whole thing.
Sir,
I just pulled around him and watched
you.
You never tried to help him.
All right, so that Larney Thomas was eventually handcuffed and issued a citation for disorderly conduct and failing to obey a traffic signal. Janet Rolls posted part of what she recorded on social media, where it sparked outrage. 4 days later, the citation against Larney Thomas was dropped, and the mayor of Edina has said city officials will review police protocols to determine how to approach similar incidents more sensitively. This hour, we're going to talk about the role of witnesses in the ongoing scrutiny of police behavior. What does it mean to be a witness? How best to go about it? What public safety concerns does it raise? And as I mentioned earlier, and we heard, I'm joined in studio by Janet Rolls, who, in addition to filming the Edina incident, is a professional mediator in high conflict and emotionally difficult situations. We're also joined by Michael Quinn, former sergeant from the Minneapolis Police Department. Thanks to both of you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
So, Janet, first off, what compelled you to pull over and videotape this incident?
Let's see. I had driven past the pedestrian, Mr. Thomas, in the street. I was in the street. He was on the very, very side of the street walking next to the construction. And as I looked in my rearview mirror after I passed him, I saw the lights go on from the unmarked cop vehicle. And I thought, whoa, I wonder why is he doing that? So I sort of slowed down and pulled over and got out of my car and thought, I maybe should video this. Maybe I can help things. Maybe I can help him be safer.
Mm. And how did you feel in the moment as you were videotaping?
I was a little nervous. I'm inserting myself in somebody else's life, in both of their lives. And I'm sort of necessarily changing the course of what's going to happen, for better or worse.
Michael Quinn, how common is it for citizens to step up as witnesses to police action?
It's becoming more and more common, you know, with the advent of smartphones and the ability to record all of these different actions that your officers are involved in. We're seeing much, much more of it. And not so much that they'll step up after the fact, but the fact is if a complaint comes down or if an issue makes the news or it becomes critical, quite often we've got people with video footage of the entire event.
And how is that different from just being a standby witness who doesn't have video footage but is interviewed after the event?
Well, video, of course, speaks for itself. There's no question about what was seen, what wasn't seen, and especially in a critical incident, you won't always remember the exact sequence of events or exactly what happened. And the video is always there as evidence by itself that this is exactly what happened and this was the time frame in which it happened.
If a citizen sees a confrontation involving police, what's the best way to be a witness?
Don't get to the point where you're interfering with the arrest or with the whatever the event is. Stay back far enough so that you're not imposing on the officer or putting yourself or anybody else at risk. And if they ask you to step back, but don't be afraid to videotape. We tell officers in training, you have to assume that you're on video for everything you do. And between citizens and body cameras, I think that's going to be the future.
Now, Janet Rolls, you actually engaged verbally with the police officer. Michael Quinn, is that considered interference or is that acceptable?
You know, in this case, I didn't see that as interference. And having made a few arrests over my 23 and a half years where citizens imposed or came up to say, what are you doing? Until it gets to the point where they're physically intervening, typically it's a matter of people being concerned. Why are you doing that? Why have you arrested this person? And a lot of it comes out of this willingness to just check on somebody's welfare.
So, Janet, what skills as a mediator do you feel that you brought to the situation or that you would be mindful of coming into a high conflict situation like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've had a lot of people comment to me that they could never have done what I did, which didn't feel very special to me, but I see a lot of conflict. It's what I see every day in my work. Raised voices, profanities, the police officer having them by the back of the jacket, that stuff doesn't really, I sort of separate myself and ideally have compassion and empathy for both of them. Now they're both in a situation that neither of them probably want to be in. So
having empathy for both in the situation. But is it also about helping them to have empathy for each other? I mean, some of the questions you're asking or your comments you're making is he's scared. So trying to draw the police officer's attention to the
right.
emotions.
At that point, I'd like to say I'm not really acting as a mediator. I'm acting as an advocate. And that's a really different position than being a mediator. Hmm. So I was trying to make sure that they both stayed safe. And so my doing that is to, I think, helps both of them reflect on what's happening. I sort of dislike that I characterized him as being scared. I don't know what he was feeling inside, but I do sort of understand that anger can be a secondary emotion. So saying it's scary is more palatable to me, but I didn't mean to characterize him as, it is what I did, but I wish I had said it a little differently.
So, Michael Quinn, what should witnesses, if a person is going to stand up and videotape, record, be present at a police action, what should they know about police protocol other than staying clear of the immediate vicinity? And, you know, what should they know as they observe the situation or keep in mind?
Well, I think it's really dependent on the situation. I think Janet, in this case, made a really good observation. I think she was absolutely dead on accurate when she said this person was scared. And I think a person that's a witness stepping into a situation like that, the right thing is to ask what's going on, what's happening here. I think I've had witnesses step out in front of my gun when I had guns drawn on people, which clearly is something you shouldn't do. Obviously, if they see a weapon involved or officers have their guns out, please stay back as far as you can get because you don't know what's going to happen from there. And then you put yourself and the officers at risk if you do intervene in something like that. But in confrontations where it's just verbal, for instance, like in this case to start with, and then slightly physical, stay within a safe distance. And if you want to videotape, videotape.
You know, it's interesting. The city of Edina released sort of a report answering many people's questions about what happened. And one of them was they talked about sort of the six-step approach to an incident for the police, that there is first, being present. Then there's verbal engagement. Then there's a hand-on. Then there's more physical. And then it can escalates even further. Being aware of that in a situation, is that something that's important as a witness to know, to recognize, okay, they're going from one step to the next, or, hey, they just went straight to step number four and they didn't do steps one, two, and three?
You know, a witness without police experience would have a hard time evaluating whether or not that was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. The what Edina is missing in this whole situation, in my experience, is he stops this young man for walking in the street, and he doesn't get the reaction that you would expect. This young man's angry, and I believe he was scared watching him. The cop at that point should have stepped back mentally at least and said, okay, I didn't get the reaction I expected. What's going on? Because clearly I'm missing something. Something's not quite right here. This guy's scared or he's done something I don't know. And at that point, he should have literally disengaged a little bit and said, okay, all right, fine. Just you have to get to a safe area and maybe just stay behind him until he gets clear of the construction zone. That would have made perfect sense. But to grab him by the back of the neck and treat him like a misbehaving pet or something, that you're grabbing him by the nape of the neck, he put this poor kid in an untenable position. Now, this kid either submits, and which means that he's allowing this to happen to him, which takes a hit to his self-esteem, or he resists, which he did in a mild way, but he certainly could have done a lot worse. And had he been armed with a weapon or something tucked into his waistband or decided to assault the officer, this officer left himself wide open. So there's a lot more going on there that the average citizen probably wouldn't recognize without the experience and training.
Do you think the presence of a video camera can embolden somebody in any way to respond more aggressively to a police officer than if there wasn't a video presence?
I think I've seen that happen, yes. I think that can happen. I don't think that happened in this instance. I think this young man was responding a way that was appropriate for the way he was approached and the way he was treated.
Speaking, getting back more into the general conversation of what it means to be a witness and in these situations in general, how do you make sure that as a witness you are not escalating the situation?
Don't verbally intervene. In this case, Janet's trying to tell the officer. She's trying to provide information.
Giving perspective.
And giving perspective. Mm-hmm. And that makes perfect sense. But what you don't want to do is get in there and start shouting, leave him alone. You can't handcuff him. He hasn't done anything. Those kind of comments don't help. You're better off being quiet and just making sure you got everything on video. Because if you really want to get a capture the scene well, you want to capture everything that's being said of the people that you're videotaping and not just your comments overriding them.
I do find it interesting. You mentioned earlier at the beginning of the conversation, Michael Quinn, that, you know, with a video, it's right there in front of you. It's not he said, she said. And yet I still feel that in people's reactions to the videos, we've seen very different responses, that people are seeing different things as they look at the same videotape. Janet, have you noticed this? That there's
absolutely.
And to what do you attribute that? So even...
We all have our own bias. We're human. We come at it from different perspectives. So it depends how we grew up and where we grew up and what we do for our professions and what color our skin is, how we feel. There's no way that we are not robots. So we are meant to be different. And not everybody sees that video the same way.
And so how do we know that videotaping as witnessing it will actually lead to a different outcome than if there's no videotape, Michael Quinn?
Well, the research that they've done so far with police body cameras has been really varied and conflicting in many cases. In some areas, they say the fact that a body camera or a police camera is present, some officers feel more emboldened to use deadly force, for instance, because they say there'll be no question. I can see the gun. He's got a gun. I've got it on video. I'm authorized to use deadly force.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that interesting? And then the other part of it is many times witnesses or the people they're dealing with will look at that camera knowing they're being recorded, and it tends to temper their comments. It tends to temper their reactions to the police because they know that it won't matter what they say because everything's already going to be recorded. And so some officers have reported that it's much easier to deal with people in conflict when you say, look, you're on camera, everything's being recorded. And with that up front, a lot of people have just kind of toned it down and said, okay.
But the cops, in some cases, feel more emboldened to use force because they feel that the situation is clearly in their favor. When they know the situation is clearly in their favor.
They can feel that way, but it can also serve to lower the tension, I think, because they're realizing that there's going to be a record.
Yes, and that's the other thing that happens. If you look at the use of force incidents that have occurred in New Orleans over the last year, where we finished some peer intervention training with them just in March, over the last year, their use of force complaints are dropping dramatically. And is that a result of the training? Is it a result of the body cameras? It's hard to know. There's so many things going on in New Orleans, but it's whatever it is, it's a great improvement.
Is there a place where people can go for training to be these sorts of witnesses? And both of you are shaking your heads. You don't know of it. So I'm guessing no. This is a no.
You
that
don't
this is...
really expect to see something when you're on your way to work or on your way to lunch or wherever you're headed with your day. You aren't waiting for something to happen.
But it seems like there's so much in terms of training and civil disobedience and other ways of engaging with the law. It seems I'm just curious as to what there would be.
You know, I think Michelle Gross at Communities United Against Police Brutality, if there's any training going on regarding recording films or recording police actions, Michelle would know where it is and who's doing it.
Okay. And Janet, have there been consequences for you for being a witness?
Yes. I mean, mildly, I think, compared to being in the scene. But I've had a lot of unwanted attention as well as, it's all unwanted attention to some degree, but I've had some negative attention. I certainly am looking at my part and trying to revisit it and thinking, well, should I have spoken up or could I have just been quiet and would that have been a better thing for all parties? I don't really know. I tend to be outspoken.
Are you glad you did it?
Am I glad I videoed?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I look at it and think about it from a conflict perspective. And anybody, either of the parties, could have at any moment said something like, hang on, sorry, I did that badly. Could we start over here? I apologize for my part. And anybody can do that in any conflict. You can suddenly just stop and go, I don't like the way this is going, and do something about it. I sort of, and the pedestrian could have, and the police officer could have. I do hold off police officers to a higher standard. I think they should be trained in that sort of thing. I don't know what happens if they apologize, but it's certainly an option to just say, sorry, I'm sorry I grabbed you. Let's have a talk here.
Well, it's interesting. Janet's reactions are similar to what a rookie feels when they're new on the job and they watch officers at work where they don't understand what the officer is doing, whether they think they're witnessing excessive force or somebody that's being abused. And that's exactly what they say. And that's exactly the feelings they go through that Janet was describing. And I find it fascinating because eventually, once you learn what's going on, you're more willing, hopefully, to step in. And we need to teach cops, and most new training does is teaches them it's okay to step back and say, okay, that's not going well. How are we going to fix this? Mm. And we should, and we can. I've never had anybody that I unarrested complain, ever.
You unarrested?
Sure, you can unarrest people. And you could say, you know what, this was a mistake. Let's start from scratch. Let's start this over. I'm not going to arrest you. I'm not going to issue a citation. Just explain to me what happens. I'll explain what I was thinking. You tell me what you were thinking. And let's just go on about our business. And I've never had anybody complain when you stop and do that, ever.
This has been a fascinating conversation. Thanks so much to both of you for taking the time out to talk about this experience. We've been talking about what it means to be a witness to a police action. We've been talking with Michael Quinn, former sergeant from the Minneapolis Police Department, and Janet Rolls, a professional mediator who videotaped the recent high-profile police incident in Edina. Oh, Michael Quinn is also the author of Walking with the Devil, The Police Code of Silence. All right. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.